celebrating what makes Buffalo, Buffalo.
Buffalo's memories.
BuffaloStories.com.
Yes, here we have the product of Christmas 1987 for Night Call. And herewith recorded are three Christmas songs, beginning with the anthem Once in David's Royal City, Glad Christmas Bells, and Santa is Coming, and the prize-winning story told by Charlotte Dunn of Hiller Avenue in Kenmore about the dog who kidnapped the baby Jesus, and a mystery finally solved. So, beginning with the anthem, here are recordings.
Sure. I have six children. They all helped trim the tree. The littlest had a big branch where she put all the icicles on, laden with icicles. And the other children had their branches to decorate. Put the manger under the tree. And we put the baby Jesus and the wise men and so forth. And we had a little dog that sat there and was intrigued by the lights and watched all of this. Then we turned off the lights and went to bed. And we get up the next morning, baby Jesus is gone. And we couldn't imagine.
Sure.
Because the children wouldn't have touched it.
A miracle.
A miracle.
Yes.
So anyway, I replaced it. And the following night, it was gone again.
Oh.
So I'll try once more.
I think I know what happened, yes.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Behind a little doorway, there were two little baby Jesuses, not touched.
Really?
A little dog took them and hid them.
Isn't he funny? Wasn't he funny? Oh.
Loved the tree.
And he loved the baby.
They loved the little baby. Never touched them. They weren't crushed or anything.
Isn't he cute?
Gina. Cute.
Really is. That is kind of fetching. Gee, that's a remarkable story.
Teeny dolls the girls had.
Yeah.
And he would never mark them in any way.
Uh-huh.
He was a little thief.
These other Christmas stories from 1987, December to follow, including The Wooden Shoe, told by Wilma Huber, 11 Bud Avenue, Rock Oak Estates, Clarence, New York, 14031. The South Buffalo Railway Story, told by Don Booth, Webster Road, East Aurora. I sent him passes also as a kind of runner-up. But here they are.
Was outside in my yard hanging up some clothes when this young man came up to me and said he was selling magazines.
Magazines, yes.
He's a foreign exchange student from the University of Buffalo.
Ah.
So as he spoke with me, he had a very decided accent,
yeah.
And he said he was from Holland, and if I subscribed for these magazines, his mother would send me a pair of wooden shoes and 50 tulip bulbs.
What was he offering to sell you? The tulip review? What was it he wanted you to
buy? Tulip bulbs with these wooden shoes.
I see, yeah.
So I even invited him in, and I gave him coffee.
Did you really?
As we were talking, I noticed he had on this gray sweater that was very well mended.
Oh, yes, sure.
So I subscribed for the magazine for 7 years.
Did you? For 7 years of a Dutch magazine, and you don't even know...
Oh, no, it was a magazine from here.
Very good, yeah, sure.
I had received it before.
Was it a good... you had it before.
Yeah, and as I talk with him, He had this very decided accent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I subscribed to the magazine, and he left. That very night, I opened the paper, and it said, there are no foreign exchange students selling magazines.
Oh, well, I could have told you. I could have warned you.
I know. So what I did, I called my local police.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
And I also called the University of Buffalo, because that's where he said he was attending.
Yeah.
And the police came, and they took my receipt, and a few hours later they came back, and they said, you will get the magazine, but you won't get the tulip bulbs or the wooden shoes.
Oh.
Because there's a whole gang of them signed in at a local hotel. They're traveling around the country selling magazines.
They do that. They send gangs out into neighborhoods.
Yeah, so I wasn't too... you know, worried about it, but...
Really? Well, now you've been promised tulips and wooden shoes.
I know, but they said you will get the magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
So that Christmas, the first gift I opened from my husband was a beautiful wooden shoe.
Wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you?
And I said, you know, that brought the whole...
Oh, what are you going to do with one wooden shoe?
Oh, well, it's a beautiful... It's a container for, you know, dried flowers or flower rings.
Oh, he didn't expect you to go hopping to the market.
And so the conversation had come up several times, and my husband said, it was the accent that you fell for.
Oh, I suppose that's true. You'd never heard a Dutchman before.
You know that I didn't like magazine salesmen. And I said, no, it was that wool sweater that was so... craftily mended by his mother over in Holland.
I called out as an extra man, and in those days I was in my early 20s, and so when I reported for work, the four other men in the crew were all real old-timers. That was the elite job of the South Buffalo. And on Christmas, the company kind of looked the other way, and the idea was that I realized as soon as I got there, something was up. The four older men kind of looked at each other and wondered who this replacement fireman was.
Mm-hmm.
And as the day progressed, I realized there was a party coming up. Mm-hmm. And I was getting a little worried because railroad men have some kind of wild parties on occasion.
I see.
7 o'clock, we put the engine away in one of the buildings. And in those days, the strip mill office was way back in the middle of nowhere. It was surrounded by bushes and... wilderness. So we hid the engine, shut it down, and took all the bags out of the seat boxes and stuff that the crew had brought. And as we got, we started walking out across this field, just in the darkness, I'm getting a little worried, wondering where we're going with all these sacks and everything. And we finally, here, out of the blackness, there appeared this old house. We went up on the porch, and we were met with a whole bunch of Merry Christmases. And we got there, and it seemed that this family had been expecting us. They, and as we went into this dismal kitchen, it was lighted with kerosene lamps, and I hadn't seen kerosene lamps in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they had supper set out for us, and they fed us. And after supper... They introduced me as the kid. And after supper, it was time to have the gifts, and the one sack was open, and the engineer's wife had made mittens for one of the pair of twins, and there was a scarf for Grandma. And there was one particular man, his name was Uncle Clarence. He had a sharp, a very... kind of a Roman nose, and when he smiled, his smile was kind of to one side, and his one knee wouldn't bend, and that was one thing that I noticed about him, this knee, when he would sit down, his one leg would be stiff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, after supper, it was time for everyone to participate in entertainment, and the one little teenage girl, she had bad eyes. She played the piano, and Grandma remembered a poem that she had recited years ago, and the mother did something, and Uncle Clarence did a couple of bar tricks with peanuts and some other things, and then it was our turn, and our conductor, we'd never seen him with his hat off before. This was the only time I'd ever seen him with his hat off, and we discovered that he was totally bald. But anyway, one of them played a harmonica, and a couple of them got together and sang a duet, and they sang a couple of Christmas carols, and that was kind of a novelty to us because we never heard them sing before. And then they looked at me and they said, well, now it's your turn. And I said, oh boy, what can I do? And I said, the only thing I can think of, do you know the story of the other wise man? They said no. I said, well, I belong to a youth organization in my church, and a while ago, I memorized the key parts to the story, and if you would like, I can tell that story. So I told the story of this Artaban, who had sold all of his earthly possessions for 3 jewels. and he went out in search of the Christ child. Nobody else would go with him. They all had good reasons not to go. So as he went out, he spent his whole lifetime searching for this king, following rumors that he was here or he was there, until finally, as an old white-haired man, he ends up in Jerusalem on the day of the crucifixion. And it was just an incredible, you know, it was so still, and telling it there in that place.
Truly.
It was almost, I get the feeling of Dickens when I think of it. We headed back to the engine, and when we got back to, and back up in the cab, just the engineer and me, he gave me a big punch on the shoulder. There were tears in his eyes, and he said, "You're okay, kid."
Talking to number 13 of a family of 14.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, I have some beautiful memories.
Well, I should think you do.
Yeah.
14?
Italian family.
Sure, sure.
And that was the time of year we got pizza.
Really?
Like the lady who called earlier, we went to bed early and we were carried downstairs, and the house just smelled like fried dough and pizza and all kinds of goodies.
And
so 9 o'clock at night you were zonked. But they did wake the little ones up, and I was a little one at the time.
Sure, sure.
And then promptly at 4 in the morning, we'd be up, and there'd be a chair each of presents, our older brothers and sisters.
Oh.
Made sure that we had beautiful Christmases.
Beautiful presents covered with anchovies.
Dolls and tea sets.
Mozzarella. Oh. 30 years ago, take us back, if you will, to the 19...
All right, my little son wanted a tricycle.
Sure.
For Christmas. So I went to a store. I think it was either on Genesee or Wallen Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in and I saw just what I wanted. It was just beautiful. Said to the fella, "I like that." He says, "Well, that's the floor model." But he said, "We have one right in the carton for you. We'll put it right in your car."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Fine." So I drove the car around to the warehouse. They put this great big carton right in the car for me. So I got home, put it down in the basement, says, "This is going to be great. He's going to love this." So Christmas morning, I go down to the basement about 5:30.
Huh.
I'm going to take the bicycle and bring it right up and put it under the Christmas tree. I opened up the carton. First thing I do, see about 10 cellophane packages with all kinds of nuts and bolts.
Ooh.
I pull those out.
Yeah.
Then I see all these parts of a bicycle, and I pull them out. Then on the bottom of the carton, about 5 pieces of tissue paper. I thought they were wrapping, but I looked, and they had all kinds of diagrams on them.
Oh.
And so I looked,
yeah.
And it says, "Now take packet 1, and you'll find 5 bolts and nuts.
Oh.
Take handlebar assembly. Take a bolt and put it in this hole."
Sure.
And, of course, I only got my fishing box with no tools, no nothing. Assemble the handlebar. Take A part and put it in Z part. I've got it all laying out on the floor. Then I look and it said, "Wheel assembly. Take spokes, insert in the tires."
Oh.
The tires are in package 14-2B.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me about 15 minutes to figure out, "Oh, Bob, you can't put this up." So I just brought the whole box up, and we worked for about 2 months to get it together.
2 months it took, and obviously you couldn't have done before the boy came down for Christmas.
Well, not that time of the day.
Isn't that amazing?
But
yes.
But did you ever see that with the tissue paper? Take part A and then get package B with the bolts.
What a thing to run.
And with the ratchets.
Well, that's a nightmare. To run into that at 5:30 in the morning, that's a nightmare.
It certainly was.
At Christmas time, when everybody would be sound asleep, I would sneak up in the middle of the night and come downstairs and untrim the whole tree.
Shame on you.
Yes, I would untrim it and trim it again.
Oh, would you really?
Oh, yeah, and retrim it. And I would do this for several nights.
I bet the first thing, when you got a doll, the first thing you did was take its clothes off.
It would look absolutely completely different every night.
Oh, would you really do that?
No, mm-hmm. And then I'd lay down under the tree.
Yes.
Just look up with, you know, all the lights going, and, of course, the smell was just magnificent.
Isn't that magnificent? Oh, that pine perfume.
Yes.
Just marvelous, that's true. And you would lie under the tree and look up. Now, I
wasn't even considering what Santa Claus was bringing me. I was just more interested in the tree.
Rather fascinating.
But to this day, trimming the tree is just one of the things that I adore. You know, even with I've had seven children, and it just seems like, you know, I hardly like to have anybody help me. You know, it was just to let someone else pitch in.
Sure, yeah. Oh, you have...
I would love to do it as a business.
Trimming trees, I bet you might do.
In time.
Now, obviously, you're not one who would buy a an artificial tree. You would not bring in an artificial tree, would you?
I have to admit, I just did recently.
Oh, really?
Yes, I know. It's not very nice to say.
You've given up on the real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you've gone with the aluminum or.
Oh, it absolutely looks real.
Does it look real?
Yes, and then of course I spray it. I don't have to get down underneath it now and look up. And
you spray it, and it has a pine scent?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Let us get it clear, the sequence of events. When did the coal show up in your stockings?
Christmas morning.
Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Then Christmas night, Christmas day night.
We didn't get nothing. This was Christmas, New Year's Eve.
You had to wait a whole week. And then New Year's Eve... You were called into a room.
Front room where the tree was, and she said there's somebody in the front room to see there. All her toys are all around the tree.
Isn't that amazing? There wasn't anybody there, but all your gifts were there that you'd hoped for on Christmas Day.
Yeah, my mother said, see, so you better behave from now on.
Oh, boy, your mom, is she with us still? Is she still around?
Oh, no.
Oh, no? Oh, my gosh.
No, she's gone 22 years. She's one of 15.
One of 15 children. She was, if I may say, one tough mama, wasn't she?
Yeah.
That she would withhold those for a whole week.
Yeah.
Knowing that you were brokenhearted.
Yeah. That taught us a good lesson.
Well, what could you do with a piece of coal? You could write on the sidewalk, maybe, or start a small fire with some patience.
Yeah.
But that was, boy, she is really difficult. She was difficult, difficult, boy.
You just want to teach us a lesson.
I guess that's true.
Behave, we wouldn't do it.
Recorded, this is January 15th, 1987. Some Christmas remnants, including in the beginning, some of the tales told this year, and including some from a previous year or so, used 1986. January 15th, 1987.
Grandma had a small house, so she had two rooms that we could basically be in, a 10-by-10 kitchen and a 12-by-12 living room. And there were possibly between 15 and 20 people,
uh-huh.
So we'd eat in two shifts.
Mercy, yeah.
Yeah, and then we'd all go into, after we cleaned all the dishes up, we'd all go into the living room. And all the presents were there, all over the couch, all over the floor.
Were they?
Everyone had to sit on laps.
Mercy, the room just full of packaged gifts.
Right, packaged gifts and people. And then one of my uncles usually would dress up as Santa.
Oh, good.
And he'd come in, and you'd hear this cowbell coming up the walk.
Ah, yes.
And unlike most children, I was deathly afraid of Santa.
Yeah, it's true. Little people, they start to cry.
Deathly afraid. And no matter how I was coaxed into, look what Santa has for you, I'd hide my aunts behind Mom and Dad. There was no way Santa was going to give me anything. He could keep it all.
You didn't know it was Uncle Frank.
No, never knew.
In those days, the lights on the Christmas trees were so huge. They were like regular electric bulbs. Huh. And you didn't have more than one string on the tree like you do nowadays, four or five or six strings. You just had the one because the lights were so huge. And when one light went out, they all went out. Well, the light went out, so my mother and dad were gone for the evening, and there were six of us home, and we were having a ball with the Christmas tree. And when the lights went out, we decided to find out which one it was. So we discovered the faulty ball, and we took it out, and we put a regular electric light bulb in the spot. But when we turned, when the tree came on, that spot was so bright that we decided we had to do something about it. So my older sister had the brilliant idea to paint it with nail polish.
Paint it with nail polish?
He painted a beautiful red, and it would really be a beautiful red ball in the tree.
Oh, yes.
And it worked fine for about a minute, and all of a sudden it started to smoke.
Oh.
And, of course, we were all little, and we were frightened, so we ran across the street, got the neighbor gentleman, and he came over and put the tree out, and it was merely the nail polish burning off the light.
Oh, sure.
We thought the tree was on fire.
Isn't that been beautifully told? I've often
wondered. One of the few memories I have of Christmas when we were younger, but that was so funny.
The night we painted the white bulb red with nail polish. Oh, that's funny. I really couldn't predict the end of that, because I wouldn't have known what might have happened to the nail polish. To me, it seems perfectly reasonable.
It seemed reasonable to us,
sure.
Too.
But then again, I'm supposed to know better. I'm not 5 years old anymore.
Well, one Christmas morning, waking up and hearing something in the basement, which is where we had our family room, and the tree was decorated down there. And, of course, my brother and I dashed out of bed and proceeded to go downstairs. We turned and saw that the presents were all strewn underneath the tree. So we hear the sound going through the other part of the basement. We run to see what we believed was Santa Claus going out.
Out the basement.
Right.
How would he get out of the basement? There's a question. Yeah.
Well, we had the storm doors.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, sure.
So we ran back upstairs. And lo and behold, we look outside, and it must have been kids during the day or something. It dragged a sled down the sidewalk, and they must have had a dog with them. It looked like the sleigh with the hoof prints of the deer had gone down the sidewalk. And there were the tracks in the snow, and that was our proof. Yeah, he was there.
You're a dog fancier.
I have two of them, and every Christmas... He has been. I've been wrapping a few presents here and there and sticking them away. He comes down and sits there and whines until I have to tell him, "Well, Santa hasn't bought yours yet. Get out of here."
Well,
and one year he completely unwrapped everything under the tree until he found his.
Is it? What was it that he finally found?
I found a huge box of biscuits and some dog food and some toys. And I had them in three little pots, but I had them in the back, and I was trying to hide them away from him because he kept going near the front of the tree.
Isn't he a smart guy?
And he tore just enough of the paper on each package. At Christmas Eve, he'd try at 6:30 trying to find gift wrap paper.
Sure, isn't that so? Oh, my gosh, he did that looking for his. He knew you had something for him.
As soon as he got to his, he stopped. Never once touched his.
Oh, that is cute notion of the dog rummaging through the presents to find his own.
And he sits, they both watch, because they stay up Christmas Eve to see what my husband sneaks into their stocking. And I have to send him outside, and when they come back, he sits there. And he just sits there and looks at his stocking. Now, he knows there's something in it. We put a squeak toy in it last year, and he had a habit before Christmas morning. He wouldn't shut. He kept whining all night long.
Isn't he funny? What's his name?
Joe.
Joe, and the other one is?
Lady K.
Joe and Lady K, and they're just hounds for their Christmas gifts.
They're not puppies either.
Uh-huh.
Joe is 13 years old, and Lady K is 12, and they still act like that.
Well, I hope they don't imagine that the tree is out of doors. Oh. I, or at least Joe, I hope in that case. Joe doesn't misbehave.
No, now he goes up and he'll sniff it and he'll come back and he'll look at me and I'll say, "It's not under there yet." And he'll go and lay down and he watches everything I go and hide away. And, I mean, the kids are even trying to con him into telling him where, trying to show them where I have hid everything.
Joe seems almost human.
He is at times.
So, at other times he's slow.
At other times he's a pain in the hind end.
Well, tell him we were talking about him. That's fascinating.
Well, he knows that his ears are, or he's laying right here next to me.
Is he really?
And
he knows that we're talking about him. Isn't that funny?
For the last 50 years, on the day before Christmas, I have made two big pots of lentil soup.
Lentil.
And served it to friends or family or neighbors.
Even if they didn't want it.
Even if they didn't want it.
You would give them lentil soup.
Because for every lentil that you eat on Christmas Eve, you have a dollar in the coming year.
I never knew that.
It's a Bohemian custom.
An old Bohemian custom. For
and
every...
I have saved many and many a client from soup kitchens and welfare.
Gee.
By serving lentils.
I haven't had a decent lentil in I can't tell you how long.
I make a most delicious
lentil
soup.
Oh.
Serve it with rye bread and butter.
Yeah.
That's the tradition. And then, of course, I add eggnog and Christmas cookies.
Gee.
But you can't come to stay.
You can't.
You drop in.
Drop in.
Eat a small bowl of lentil soup.
Give me a small bowl, is right.
And go on your merry way.
Do you put a little piece of meat in it? You put any meat
at
all?
I cook it with ham.
With ham?
With ham.
Oh, good, good. Lentil and ham.
And.
Little piece of meat.
And. Garlic. And.
Garlic, yeah.
Onions.
Onions.
And tomatoes.
Oh, all those.
Shredded carrot for color.
Yeah, sure. Noodles in there?
No
noodles.
Oh,
no. Oh, how nice.
Lentils.
The thing. Boy.
That's what gives you the luck.
The last 5 years, I pick up my daughters, from my marriage, first marriage, ex-marriage, whatever.
Oh, gee.
And I take them to a church in Lackawanna, and they have a young couple that dresses up as Mary and Joseph with the one time they did use a real baby, they had a baby. But usually they have a statuette.
I see, yeah.
And they have the whole church lit in candlelight, and they, play like Silent Night as the couple walks around the aisles of the church.
Oh, yeah.
And brings it down the aisle. And the mass is all in Spanish. My first wife was Spanish. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I see.
I go with the kids, and the whole mass is in Spanish, and they play all the Spanish, say Silent Night in Spanish and stuff.
I'll try.
And it's something that's really different. I mean, not to know what's going on, but yet you know what's going on. I mean, it's something that you really have to experience in order to get the full pleasure of it.
Yeah, now they're not with you.
Be fluent in something to understand really what's going on.
They're not with you on Christmas morning.
Usually, yes. They
are they really? Oh, well, because now I...
Stay with me Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
We spend the night at my house.
Boy, that's great.
We open our presents. Then I have them where we go to my family's. And then the following, afternoon, I take them down to my ex's family's. And they have the Christmas there, too. So they make out pretty good.
Boy, now, do you spend a while at the home of your former in-laws?
Oh, sure.
That is really... To observe the Christmas spirit overriding every consideration, everything. In other words, it's not dicey. You're not uneasy in their company, but...
Oh, no. It's funny. I visit my ex-mother-in-law at least once a week and have coffee with her and talk with her. We get along great.
The one thing that I kind of miss that used to make me... We're quite happy, me and my sisters.
Uh-huh.
My mother used to let us all bundle up with the neighborhood kids and go out caroling.
You would bundle with the neighborhood kids?
No, bundle all.
Oh, bundle up, I'm
warm.
Sorry. Yes, exactly. And you would go out caroling from
door? Caroling, and they don't do that anymore.
Oh, caroling, da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, gee, that's true. They don't, that's a tradition that's gone, isn't it? Apparently.
That's very much, and it's even fading away from the hospitals and...
Oh, mercy.
Nursing homes and things like this, and this is where the people who really need it the most.
Yeah, perhaps in the small New England towns or...
Yes, but something like Buffalo, it's faded out.
Yeah, that's
completely.
True.
It's lost it.
My husband had a young fellow working with him in his early 20s, and he had bought a Santa Claus suit. And he asked the boy if he would mind playing Santa Claus, but be there like at 6 in the morning for my little boy to see him.
Oh.
And the young fellow says, sure, But he had gone out that night, and he was worried that he wouldn't get home, in time to get to our house.
Oh, I see, yes.
Gave him the key to come into the house.
Oh.
So it was about 3 in the morning, and we were sleeping, and all of a sudden I opened my eyes up, and I said to my husband, there's somebody in our room with a red suit on.
He thought you were in your second childhood.
Yeah, I says, there's somebody in our room with the red suit, and all of a sudden I could hear the young fellow calling my husband's name out, I'm going, get up, I'm here. And my husband says, well, you're not supposed to be here till 6. He says, well, I was afraid that I would, fall asleep and not get here in time for my younger son.
Yeah, sure.
So the young fellow, you know, and I woke up scared because I thought, my God, there's somebody in our room, you know.
Yeah, so how terrifying.
Realized, you know, I forgot about the kid supposed to be coming. So he went and laid down with the Santa Claus suit on, with the beard and everything else, in our living room, and he fell asleep, and then my little boy woke up like at 5 in the morning, and here he is sleeping on the floor. Little boy comes in and says, Mommy, Mommy, there's Santa Claus sleeping on the floor. He doesn't look like he's very well, you know.
Oh,
it was the cutest thing, and, you know, the boy was so nice to do that for us, but, you know, you open your eyes, and here you see somebody in a red beard, you know, you're thinking.
Well, now, what did you do? Did you pour hot coffee in him to bring him around, or I wonder?
No, he wasn't really feeling good. He was just tired, you know, because he had worked all day, but he was just afraid that he wouldn't wake up.
Gee, it's so nice of you to arrange this
house,
for your son.
And you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning.
You planned to. You were going to pay him something, I guess, for this.
No, he just worked with my husband.
Oh, I see.
And,
yeah.
He liked the kids. I had a daughter, a younger daughter at the time too, and grown now. But he just liked the kids, and he wanted to do it for them. So we had bought a Santa Claus suit, and he said, well, I'll do it, you know.
Well, I bet they.
I thought it was such a wonderful thing for a young boy to spend his time to do that at the time. And, you know, but I thought it was the cutest thing, and, you know, my kids never forgot it, you know.
I'm sure they talk to this day about the night Santa Claus passed out on the living room floor.
We'll talk about it, because, you know, I really thought there was Santa Claus in my room, you know.
Sure.
I woke up from a deep sleep, and I see this person in this red suit and a beard, and you think, my God, am I dreaming, or what, or did I die and go to heaven, or, you know, or something like this, you know.
A lot of people that do get trees, they don't realize it, but one of the ways, instead of buying the stuff in the can to preserve your tree,
which
is an old-fashioned remedy my grandmother taught my father and taught us kids.
What does one do to preserve the life of the tree?
Two aspirins and a pitcher of cold water.
Two aspirin.
Every foot the tree is tall.
I can understand the two aspirin, but I don't know if I'd be able to drink a whole pitcher of water.
Oh, John, it's not for you.
I'm sorry, yes. Oh, I thought you were telling me.
In the base of... You put it in a pitcher that's got a lid that can be fastened shut. And
sure.
You fill the basin of the tree, and then go around, put your skirt around the bottom.
Exactly.
And when the tree starts getting low on water, you've got your pitcher right at the base of the back of the tree.
That's pretty. In other words, you maintain a pitcher of water back there at all times. You keep.
And for every foot it's true at all, you put two just regular aspirins.
Gee, that's for now. Once again, for every foot of the tree
is tall, you put two aspirin.
Two aspirin. Okay, so this
pitcher of water.
This tree that we have is say 5 feet tall.
So you put 10 aspirins in there.
10 aspirin tablets. Does it like that? Does it?
It helps preserve it and keep it longer. I haven't been known to have my tree stay up as far as the second week of January.
One son decided he was going to buy my husband a hammer handle, not the whole hammer.
Just the handle. That's a peculiar quest.
I thought this was a beautiful thing, you know. So my father got the biggest kick out of it. And he was laughing, and he kept saying, oh, I can't wait till Christmas when Gene sees that hammer, you know. He's really going to, you know, it's going to be funny.
Sure.
So he's getting a big joke out of this hammer handle. So in the meantime, my son says to me, gee, Ma, you know, he says, Grandpa really liked that hammer handle. He says, I think I'll get him one. So I take him shopping. We get my father a hammer handle.
Yeah.
So I wrapped it so it wasn't obvious, you know.
Gee.
So my father's standing there, and he's laughing, and my husband opens up the hammer handle. And my husband says, gee, a hammer handle.
So then we get to
my father's gift.
Yeah.
And, my son is sitting there, and he's beaming, you know.
Oh.
And my father opens up his gift, and he said, oh, wow, a hammer handle.
Boy.
To this day, my husband never put the hammer on the end of the handle.
It's just saved
as a souvenir. And every year we tell the story of...
Of the hammer handle.
Hammer handle.
Oh,
and this kid thought this was just the greatest. Now, of course, he gets embarrassed when we laugh about it, but, it was always this big trip to the stores, you know, and they'd go shopping. And, of course, then after they got a little bit older and my father died, they... think of this all the time, and they miss it, you know.
Can you really buy the handle separate from the hammer?
Oh, yeah, you can buy a new handle, and they're nice, shiny wood. I guess the wood was pretty, you know.
Isn't that strange that he could do?
It was a strange gift, but my son thought
really
this.
Is.
And when he said, oh, Grandpa, he likes it. He said, I think I'll buy him one, too. Well, we just laughed so hard that night because...
And then you can buy
the father thought this was a big joke, Dad.
Yeah, you could buy the head separately.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess if you have an old hammer handle, you can...
I suppose.
The new
hat
on, or the old hat on, a new handle, you know.
You can buy anything if you but look.
Well, our children were little.
Yes.
Every Christmas, the week before Christmas, we would wrap up, not junky things, but things that the kids really didn't play with that much the year before that were in good shape.
Yes.
Or like new sweater, or, you know, I mean, shirt or skirts or something like that, you know, not only just toys, but clothing, too.
And put them under the tree for them again.
Well, I would, you know, I'd call our local parish.
Oh, I see. Oh, you wouldn't.
Parish, because I didn't know the families that were really in need, okay?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I knew they would get to a family that needed them.
Exactly.
It was one year, in fact, it was the last year that we had done it.
Isn't that nice?
Of a family that was really in need, and we took them to a neighbor. They never knew, you know, where the things came from or anything.
Sure.
But the kids really enjoyed it. I mean, we sat down that week before, and we would wrap up the presents and put bows on them, and we'd just write, like, girl, boy on them.
Girl, boy, very good, sure, yeah.
You know? And the kids really, that stays with them today. Now they're 23 and 25, and they still talk about it.
Over 60 years ago, yes?
And my mother died and left three little girls, 2, 4, and 6.
Oh.
And my father tried to take care of us, but he couldn't. The people that took care of us didn't take proper care. So he talked to the minister, and he put us in the church home in Buffalo, which was on Front Avenue, but it's Buffalo Avenue now, right where the Peace Bridge is.
Uh-huh.
The old folks home there at 24 Rhode Island Street.
Oh, yes?
You know where it is?
I think I do, sure, 24 Rhode Island
Street. Yeah, and there was a tunnel we used to go through. We never were out with other children. When the home was right on the front avenue, but now it's bus day. He would go through this tunnel to go there. But anyway, we had many happy Christmases there. We, every Christmas, they'd put this great, huge, big tree in the dining room. And before Christmas, they'd call us all in and make three wishes, and they'd try to give you your first wish.
The first? They wouldn't give you the other two.
Oh, they'd try to give you your first wish. But then your parents would give you gifts, you know.
Oh, I see. It's a wonder they didn't let it go at make a wish, you know. But they would say three wishes and only give you one.
They couldn't get something.
I see. Oh,
yeah,
that makes sense.
And then on Christmas morning, they would get us up at 5 o'clock, and we'd go over and sing carols to the elderly people.
Oh.
Wake them up.
Yeah, and wake them up at 5 in the morning. Did they throw things at you?
No, they loved it. And then we would...
if you came in singing at 5 o'clock in the morning, I think I might... well, I don't know that I'd be... even Christmas morning, I don't know that I'd all be altogether generous in my comments.
Yeah. And then we'd go back to the home.
Yes.
And have breakfast, and they'd have the table all set pretty, and we'd have everybody get a brand new purse.
A new purse?
10 pennies. Brand new pennies.
Oh, isn't that... Even the boys got purses?
Yeah, everybody.
The boys got new purses?
Everybody got the same thing.
Yeah.
And then people that ran the home, like the board ladies, they would take stock, and we used to wear black stockings in them days. They would take a stocking home for each kid and with your name on it.
Oh.
They would fill it.
Oh, how nice of the board ladies.
Hang it on the fireplace.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, how nice.
Yeah. And then after a while, Santa Claus would come to the front door, and somebody would go open the door, and he'd come out. And then he'd call all our names and give us these gifts that we had wished for.
We would go to our grandmother's on the farm about 4 days before Christmas.
Oh.
And the day after we arrived, my grandfather would take us out in the sleigh into the woods to cut the tree. Then we would come home and leave it until the next day to decorate it. And the smells in that house, I still remember the smells.
They were that bad.
Of cooking.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Oh.
Of cookies.
Yeah.
Of cookies. Then I remember, I always had the feeling that we were so snugly warm. Because we'd get up Christmas morning, open our gifts, my father would go out, boil water, put it in the radiator of the car, put blankets around us all in the car, go to Mass, and come home and have our breakfast.
Ah, truly, yeah, yeah.
And then the next year, we would go to New York.
Uh-huh.
And it was so completely different.
I should think so. This is the heart of New York, right?
Well, yes, because I wanted to go see where my grandmother lived a few years ago when my son lived near there.
I see.
And he said you wouldn't even dare go there in the daytime.
Oh, today, these days.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was
very nice at that time.
Good heavens, yeah.
But it was so different in New York, but we loved equally the place, whichever place we were. It was just a big thrill for us.
Isn't that marvelous?
Babylon, city steeped in age and cracked with sin, inhabited still by a few. Babylon hears talk of miracles too this night, and truly, there, there is a miracle to be seen on fire in the sky, a giant spark that does not die. The princes who passed by this ruined heap, pausing only to renew their mounts, they had eye for what gleams yonder in the western sky. They are schooled in the constellations, these princes, and they know the meaning of each conjunction. Wonderfully, they name each pinprick of ancient light as though they were friend to it for life. And they say, for I had the chance to speak with them before they moved on, they say this lambent sign in the great black vault above means something new, never signified before by any star the heavens bore. Whether it be one star or two conjoined to show such luster, or a whole cluster, or some otherworldly particle of flame, it hangs out there, and they say beneath it lies a feeble infant with more than earthly ties. Born in rich poverty, they say, the Son of God has come this day to cleanse all sin and ease our strife and grant us everlasting life. That is what they say the glow out there conveys, and they begin a journey to take them many days through rocky gorge and desert waste, where rivers roar and valleys faced with tall green grass invite them rest. But onward will their tour be pressed till they shall stand beneath its light, that star that took them out tonight.
Steve Cishon, BuffaloStories.com.